San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Palm Sunday, April 10, 2022. Today's lesson is Venture Forth with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr. So, good morning.
Good morning.
I am so pleased to be here. This is Sunday, the 10th of April. We're having a late Easter this year, which is next week, the 17th. But today is Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. And so I would like to open us up the way I do every Sunday with that foundational truth of the entire universe so we can anchor ourselves within that. There's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows throughout the world. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Now you might wonder, why do I always emphasize that self-existent cause? Because everything, every effect has a cause, a first cause. Except the universe, all of creation, was its own first cause. It is in itself all causation, all creativity. So that's why I say that. Our theme for 2022 has been living everyday wonder. And the key word in that is wonder. I wonder. Wonderful! One wonderful thing is that we are a spiritual family and a community of like-minded people. And we support each other. We support each other's lives and the lives of the science of mind philosophy here with the teachings of Ernest Holmes, as well as other New Thought teachers and luminaries throughout history. One of those is Charles Fillmore. Now, Charles Fillmore, along with his wife Myrtle, founded the Unity Movement, which is very similar to the philosophy of religious science. Fillmore said the following: "It is much easier to hold ourselves in the true consciousness when we are associated with those who think as we do." It's easier to stay in focus, in purpose, when we are with like-minded people. And that absolutely makes sense. It does. I mean, let's say you want to go to a game. You want to go to a baseball game. And so all your friends take you to a football game. You may be listening to that baseball game on your radio with your earplug, but everybody around you is talking football and touchdown and stuff, and you're right there thinking, oh, ninth inning, you know, and it's so close, it could be anything. This is the last batter up, and if he scores, then my team loses. Okay, so you're focused on that. Would it not be better to be at the baseball game with the like-minded people who understand that your intention right there? Of course it would. Of course it would. So we want to be around like-minded people as much as we can, also understanding that we're not always able to. It's a lot easier to accomplish our goals and our desires when we're working as a team that's going in the same direction. It's been said that the whole world is a stage and you and I are merely actors, right? Who said that? Shakespeare. Shakespeare. It was in his play As You Like It, and he wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances." If you ever wanted to know why everybody you have ever met in your life isn't right here standing next to you today, it's because they had a life of their own to live. They truly did. They entered into your life, and then they exited gracefully so that they didn't just abandon you, kind of a thing. They just had their next act to go on to in the play of their life, not the play of your life or my life. You came into this life with an opportunity to express your creativity and your divinity in any way you choose. And when you exit this earth plane, you will leave this world a better place by who you are. Not so much by what you've done, but actually by who you are. Now, if you're in alignment with what I've said so far this morning, are you? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay. I invite you to place your hand over your heart and affirm these words. Today.
Today.
I am venturing forth.
I am venturing forth.
I am an open. Dazzling channel.
For inspiration and peace.
And so it is.
So
you get to breathe. You are a dazzling channel for inspiration and peace. Maya Angelou said, "If you're always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be." Well, I'll kind of paraphrase that and say, if you're always trying to be normal, you'll never know how dazzling you can be. You'll never know how creative you can be, how awesome you can be, how fully present you can be. We had a song to start us out today. It was called Creative Thinking. Now, we also happened to have the video, and it showed the fourth graders who, to express their creativity and their ability to think creatively, wrote, acted in, and produced this video on creative thinking. Now, they said there's four key components in creative thinking: fluency, flexibility, originality, and elaboration. They went into a little more detail. But yes, creativity, thinking creatively, is not an isolated instance. It has components. I want to share something with you about circumstances. George Bernard Shaw said, "People are always blaming their circumstances for what they are," meaning what the people are. "I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, make them. If they can't find the circumstances that they want, they create them, they make them." People get up, meaning takes action, and they look for the circumstances they want. They are venturing forth, going out, seeking things. And if they can't find them, they make them. They make their own circumstances. That's what they were doing in that creative thinking song. Even in our quotes this morning that Reverend Mark shared with us, Ernest Holmes says, "We are in an infinite mind. An infinite mind is also in us. It's by this mind that we think. This mind is eternal. Therefore, we are eternal." That's Ernest Holmes, Science in My Textbook, page 108, paragraph 4. I also want to share something with you from Nona Brooks. She's one of the founders of Divine Science. And you may remember that Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, was a divine science minister before he founded religious science. Nona was also one of the original students of Mary Baker Eddy. No, not Mary Baker Eddy. Emma Curtis Hopkins. So Nona writes, "The whole truth is always here, open to us. However, it is necessary that we find it for ourselves. Each of us, in order to come into an understanding of this knowledge, must have his own revelation of the truth of God." She said, we all have to have our own revelation of the truth of God. What that is, it's a remembering who we are. We all get to remember who we truly are, which is more than this human body, this human life. She goes on to write, "This throws the responsibility of the spiritual unfoldment of the individual upon the individual himself." Caveat. She wrote this back when him and his were standard, back in the teens and the 20s of the last century, not just a few years ago. She wrote, "It shows us that no one can take another and put him into the kingdom of God. But the realization of the glories of this kingdom depends upon each one of us. The Spirit of Truth leads us into all truth, for the Spirit is open and ready to lead." Spirit is open and ready to lead. So what does she mean? What does she mean? Well, you need to remember that Spirit is infinitely creative. In truth, Spirit is all creativity. So it only makes sense that each one of us has a uniquely creative way to understand our own personal relationship with the truth that's unfolding within ourselves. And we can be grateful and thankful that this is so. I don't think I would be comfortable having the truth unfold within me in somebody else's manner. Because, let's face it, it's all about me. And for you, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about each one of us. Because each of us is having our own spiritual awakening. I have an example of uniquely creative observations of divine creativity. Buckminster Fuller. R. Buckminster Fuller was one of the most amazingly creative thinkers of our time. I have an article that was written about him by a colleague, Reverend Noel F. McInnes. And he writes, Buckminster Fuller was a mid-20th century architect, inventor, engineer, writer, mathematician, businessman, educator, and utopian humanist known universally as Bucky, whose numerous inventions still await implementation if and when our future catches up with his vision. Bucky's many works have recently been characterized as, quote, desperately needed time capsules of wisdom for the critical moment he foresaw, end quote. Now, one of his most, hands-on visionary ideas is the geodesic dome. Everybody seen a geodesic dome? That's Bucky Fuller. There were several hundred thousand domes that have been built, but the most famous housed the U.S. Pavilion at Montreal's Expo in 1967. That long ago. And many were used for other prominent, though lesser known projects. Just as James Joyce advised writers to write from experience and only from experience, Bucky derived all his inventions from his own direct and unique experiencing of the principles that enabled their construction. The principles that enabled their construction. And you think, well, what principles? Aha! Like all of Bucky's other creations, his dome construction technology emerged from his experiential exploration, examination, and technological animation of natural patterns and principles of cosmic organizational structure. These things are commonly associated with what we call sacred geometry. So all of these things that Bucky has imagined, has created, has designed, has invented, are all based on sacred geometry. Pretty amazing, right? It's a geometrical way of thinking that Bucky called synergetics. And it exemplifies the universal mathematical principle and the applied technology of doing more with less. That's what Bucky was all about. Buckminster Fuller, doing more with less. And all of his creativity, all of his creative ideas were based on observing things. How are leaves on the stem of a branch? Well, if you go back, you can see the sacred geometry in it. What about the shells, seashells? We've seen often those spiraling seashells. It's got all the math going on. Sacred geometry. Vitruvian man, sacred geometry. And how can we use these various things that are around us in one of the many creative functions that we can apply to them? So again, I say he's one of the most amazingly creative thinkers of our time. And the synergetics, doing more with less, observing natural patterns, cosmic organizational structure that we know as sacred geometry. Well, here's something I'm gonna share with you. My father, I always considered a genius because he could do anything. You asked him and he would come up with some solution for whatever it was that you wanted. My friends across the street, the girls, they had a little playhouse in their backyard. I wanted a playhouse. I didn't want to have to go across the street, all the way across the street, to play with them in their playhouse, especially if they weren't home, you know, kind of rude. So I told my dad I wanted my own playhouse. So you know what my dad built? An A-frame. Nice 8x8 platform, two sides, and a back. My A-frame was my playhouse. That A-frame got so much more variable use than their playhouse that their dad couldn't stand up in. And I bring that up about my dad because he is how I got introduced to the geodesic domes. In the early 70s, my father, he was an engineer with the government, but he also, on the side, did a little bit of real estate. Well, he bought a bunch of vacation home land in a place called Bear Valley, somewhere north of Bakersfield, up around Tehachapi. He bought a whole bunch of land, and he bought a whole bunch of geodesic dome kits. And he started with one, setting up the kit, you know, making a vacation home there, and then selling it and financing the next one, and selling it and financing the next one. When my dad passed away, he hadn't finished the project, but he still had in his estate land and geodesic dome kits. So some of those were distributed to the children. So it's nice to know that up in Bear Valley, there are timeless structures that my father helped put together. Just feels good. Our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living is an interfaith science of mind community, and we do honor the many paths that lead to wholeness and love and light. We honor and respect all faiths, regardless of their dogma or their creed. Our philosophy reveals the golden thread that weaves through all of humanity in a tapestry of spirituality. It's just absolutely beautiful. And we know that today is Palm Sunday. It's a Christian and Catholic celebration. So everybody say, Happy Palm Sunday!
Happy Palm Sunday!
Yay! Because we're interfaith, we recognize the significance of what the palms represent throughout the world. Palm Sunday is a time when millions of Christians celebrate the historical and the triumphant return of the Master Teacher Jesus into Jerusalem for the last time before he made his journey to the cross. So what was he doing? Jesus ventured forth into Jerusalem, knowing full well what was coming. He was setting a memorable stage in accordance with scriptural prophecy for religious and political theater to play out. All the world's a stage, and we are all players. According to some metaphysical interpretations, the name Jerusalem, known as the biblical city of David, means habitation of peace. Habitation of peace. Jeru meaning founding or constituting, and Salem means peace, quiet, harmony, and prosperity. Metaphysically, the return of Jesus to Jerusalem signifies the fulfillment of the promise, when the holy I Am lifts mankind into the spiritual plane of mastery, purity, harmony, and peace. The question of whether Jesus would dare venture forth into Jerusalem for the observance of the Passover holiday was on everybody's mind back then. It's like the TMZ of the day. Will Jesus show? He was the talk of the town. And soon it became known that this holy man, whom days before had performed miracles and had challenged the authority of the clergy, he was venturing forth to visit Jerusalem, which was the spiritual center and the hub of the Jewish cultures, the ones that he was challenging their authority. So go to the heart of what he considered the enemy. Not that he meant that the Jews, the Jewish people, were the enemy. No, the enemy was the false teaching and the Pharisees and the false leaders who were getting rich off the backs of the people under these overburdening laws and regulations and an unjust justice system. So word spread, and the city was prepared for his return with a royal reception unlike any other. Jesus was making a statement, and he was venturing forth to go about his Father's business. He brought his message of love and compassion to the people by riding an unbroken colt through the city. Got on his little unbroken colt, which was part of the prophecies, and rode it into the city. He was venturing forth as if he was the great Messiah the prophet said would fulfill the promise of the Most High. In the Holy Scriptures, it's written that the people who gathered to welcome him threw their cloaks, garments, and palm branches into his path, because palm branches signified recognizing royalty. And this was done to make his ride comfortable along the rocky and uneven streets of the city. The green palms and the colorful fabric added to the festive mood as the people sang their praises of his return on that first Palm Sunday over 2,000 years ago. All of us have the opportunity to reveal our creativity and our greatness and claim our divine connection with a higher power that makes all things possible. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, says the highest faculty in man is intuition. And it comes to a point sometimes where, with no process of reasoning, he instantly knows. He instantly knows. Intuition is one of the key components of creativity. We dream dreams in our hearts, and our minds seek ways to fulfill our dreams. This too is part of the divine creative process that is both universal for all and individual to all at the same time. In our philosophy and teaching, we understand the metaphysical interpretation that Jesus was the great example, not the great exception. Jesus intuitively knew his relationship to this higher power, and showed the world how to embody the universal presence that resides within all humanity. In the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes writes, "If we can look upon Jesus from this viewpoint, we shall be able to study his life as a living example. What is more inspiring than to contemplate the consciousness of a man who has the faith to stand in front of a paralyzed man and tell him to get up and walk, and to know very well that he is going to get up? Or to stand in front of the tomb of a dead man and tell him to come forth. Such an example as this is worth something. But if the whole performance were enacted in the mind of a man entirely unique and different from us, then it would mean no more to us than studying the biography of hundreds of other men. Fortunately, we do not have to contemplate Jesus as being unique and different, for the Bible makes it more than plain that he was a man just as we are. As the human gives way to the divine in all people, they become the Christ. In the case of Jesus, there was such a surrendering of an isolated will that a greater incarnation of the divine actually took place. The mystic Christ comes from the bosom of the unseen Father, proclaiming the love of God through his own love of humanity. Jesus, the great example. We can all be like Jesus, because within the core of ourselves, we are already like Jesus. We just need to remember. When was the last time you went to a tomb and ordered somebody in there to rise and walk out? I haven't done it. I guess I have a little work to do on my faith. Most of the New Thought teachings were founded by people who healed themselves through their faith, through their knowing that the invisible principle is more powerful than the physical form, and that the physical form is only as we observe it and think it. We could say, I have a broken leg. And as long as you say you have a broken leg, you have a broken leg. When you say, everything is in perfect alignment, and you consciously are aware of all the cells, all the muscles, all these formy things that have to conform to spiritual truth, then the healing takes place. So, with one exception, all New Thought faiths, organizations, were based on the healing of those, the physical healing of those who founded them. Ernest Holmes was the only one. He didn't have a physical healing, but he recognized the truth. And we are so grateful, so grateful. I am grateful for his effort to put all this down in writing and to have this organization that we can learn and experience and be with like-minded people, where we can venture forth in faith, in love, in hope. The Greek philosopher and student of Plato, Aristotle, once said, "In the arena of human life, the honors and rewards fall to those who show their good qualities in action." And so we can venture forth. And when I say venture forth, I mean to peacefully share our spiritual way of living. Share it with others. Inspire them to use their inner creativity to create a life of divine purpose and joy. You don't have to go knocking on people's doors on Sunday or Saturday and say, "Hi, I'm here to talk to you about God. I'm here to talk to you about your divine creativity." No. There are many ways to share. And being an example is one great way to share. Another is invite somebody to church on Sunday. Send them a link to a podcast. Just get the message out, because you are part of everybody. So this week, with Palm Sunday, we are beginning the Holy Week in preparation for the Easter Sunday and Easter celebration next week. But it's also our 21st anniversary as a spiritual center, right here in the heart of San Diego. We are the very heart of San Diego because we are pure, unconditional love. How could we be anything else? That is our true nature. So let us honor each other and show our good qualities by venturing forth in our beliefs and making this world a better place for future generations. Thank you for your time and attention. Namaste.